Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, if you bought a home in the last few years, did you waive a home inspection? Many did, and many now have problems they didn't expect. Larry Mueller here again. Back with us to talk about these real estate problems is Kevin Trost. He is the founding attorney of Trost LLC, has over 20 years of experience representing individuals, financial institutions, businesses, and insurers throughout the state and federal court systems. Kevin has extensive experience handling disputes arising from residential real estate transactions. So he knows a lot, and I hope you'll join in with your questions. What questions do you have? Give us a call. It's 800-642-1234. Or you could also email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Kevin Trost, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Larry. It's nice to talk with you again.
Why did so many buyers waive home inspections?
Well, because they were in a situation where there were so many buyers looking at very few homes. And so sellers often were faced with the envious prospect of having a handful of offers the Monday after their first real estate showing of the house. And a lot of those were full price offers or sometimes offers that went above full price. And so buyers in that kind of situation were trying to make their offer the most attractive offer to the seller of the house so that their offer would be the one that was chosen.
I was looking at a home in my own neighborhood with the idea that we might rent it, you know, sell it or rent it out to somebody else. And I went to look at it, and I decided not to bid on it. And I think it went for $60,000 over the asking price. And I thought, oh, my goodness.
It was a crazy real estate market last summer. There was a house up the street from my house that went on the market, had showings for one weekend, and the sellers fielded the handful of offers, full price, over asking price offers the next Monday, and the house ended up selling for over six figures over what the original asking price was.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's talk inspections. What kinds of problems typically would an inspection reveal?
Sure. Licensed home inspectors are people that a buyer will often hire as part of a contingency in their offer to purchase. When they're buying a house, they'll submit the offer to purchase, and they'll have a contingency box checked that allows them to have a home inspection. And so a licensed home inspector will be hired to come in and basically give the house a once-over, go from top to bottom, from the roof down to the basement, and comment on anything that the home inspector sees that might be a defect or a problem. Home inspectors can be a little limited in what they can do because when the home inspection is occurring, the house is still technically owned by the seller.
Yeah.
So the home inspector can't go and willy-nilly move stuff around, move furniture to get a good look at everything. But what they do is they can comment on what they can visually see during their inspection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there can be a lot of things that you might not see, but at least you've got somebody who knows what he or she's doing.
Exactly. I think the intent is to have somebody who knows a little bit more about homes than the average person who's going to put the offer in to go through the house and find any problems that are, you know, obvious or observable. Oftentimes, that might be something with the electrical system. It might be something with the plumbing system. There might be some evidence in the basement that there has been water that's intruded into the basement at some point in time in the past. And those are things that a home inspector should be able to see and then correspondingly point out to the buyer.
And then the buyer, I mean, well, do sellers normally have to correct these issues or what?
It really depends on the situation. Sometimes the buyer will become aware of a problem that's so significant they want to back out of the entire deal. A lot of times, and more frequently, you'll see buyers who become aware of problems that'll cost probably, you know, from anywhere from a few hundred to a few thousand dollars. And then it'll become kind of a negotiation process with the seller. Either the seller will agree to fix it, or the seller will give some kind of credit at the closing, you know, money off of the purchase price, and the buyer then will go take care of the problem themselves.
Do buyers have recourse if they find problems now that the sale has gone through?
They can. One thing that sellers are required to do when they're selling a house is fill out a real estate condition report. And that's something, the terms of the real estate condition report is going to vary from state to state. Each state has its own list of questions and issues that the seller needs to comment on when they're selling their house. But that real estate condition report gets turned over to the buyers, and that condition report is a disclosure from the sellers of their knowledge or notice of any defects, basically problems with various parts of the house. And based on that, the buyers often rely on what the sellers have said in the real estate condition report in going ahead and either putting an offer in or the amount of the offer that the buyer is going to put in. Now, sometimes things pop up, you know, a few months, maybe a few weeks, maybe a couple years after the sale has gone through, and it becomes evident in the mind of the buyers of the house that this is a problem that seems to have been long-standing with this house. For example, you know, somebody buys a house, they close on a Friday in the middle of summer, and suddenly every rainstorm afterwards during the course of the summer, the basement seems to have
water.
A certain corner of the basement seems to fill up with water. And it happens so repeatedly that the buyers can't help but wonder, that really seems like something that the sellers must have known about, since they said that they lived there for 20 years, but they didn't disclose any water problems in the basement when they were filling out their real estate condition report. In that type of situation, oftentimes the buyers will have some type of legal recourse to go back to the sellers and ask them to contribute some money to the cost of that repair.
John in Eustisford has a question for you. Let's go there. John, hi. Thanks for calling. John, are you there? Oh. We'll go back to John. We had a little issue there. You can join in too, by the way, as long as we're at this. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address, ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Well, so on the seller side of things, let's talk some more about that condition report. I mean, if you know something is wrong, you better be putting it in there, I would guess.
I think that would be the best advice to if you know there's a problem with your house that you've been dealing with over time, better to put it in the real estate condition report so that the issue is front and center and out there in the open. That way, you know, if a buyer has a problem with it, they know up front that's either something that needs to be negotiated out during the course of the sale, or is something the buyer's willing to take on for the amount of money that they're offering to purchase the house for.
Thinking about new homes, there have been, I have a friend who is a registered home inspector and has had to appear in court as an expert because people have purchased a brand new home. And of course, you're not going to do a home inspection on a brand new home. And there were multiple problems with many of the new homes that are out there today.
That happens too. problems are not only popping up with existing houses that have longstanding problems, but also new construction type of houses too. A lot of times, a person goes to buy a house that's new and they lock the builder into a certain price and the builder's trying to work within that price to construct the house. And sometimes the general contractor builder doesn't give the best of oversight over the subs that get hired to perform some of the day-to-day nitty-gritty tasks in building the house. And as a result, you can end up having a house that's brand new, but already has a glaring issue.
Yeah, and in some cases, many glaring issues. And some of these cases turn, well, either new or old, can turn into a lot of money. I mean...
They can lead to significant lawsuits. Oftentimes, a home is the most expensive purchase that anybody ever makes in their life. And so there's a lot of money riding on the fact of a person expecting to get something for that money that they're putting out to purchase the house. And when those expectations aren't met by the reality of what they purchased, it can lead to legal problems and claims.
Kevin Trost, our guest today, taking a look at some of the legal issues surrounding real estate transactions. Kevin is the founding attorney of Trost LLC, and you can join in with your own questions at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Jill Dadeau, our producer today, Tyler Dinner, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Well, you may not be looking right at this minute to buy or sell a home or your home, but it's going to happen sooner or later. I'm not sure how often homes turn over. It probably varies a little bit depending on where you live. But those transactions are going to happen, and there are legal issues surrounding those transactions that you ought to be thinking about. And our guest today on the show, Kevin Trost, is here to answer those legal issues relating to real estate. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments or maybe your own experiences to share. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@WPR.org. And let's take a call. Beverly in Madison, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. My husband and I just moved here recently from Salt Lake, and that was very much a seller's market. We were very surprised at how different the market is here, and we've just actually had an offer accepted to buy a house this past Monday. But you were talking recently about inspections and the cost of them, and we were advised by our agent, and it seemed, because we had other offers not accepted, that we, in putting in the contingency about an inspection, that we had to put in a dollar amount that we would waive. And we started out saying, well, we'll waive $2,000 or $3,000 if the inspection comes up with that. The offer that we had accepted, we had to say that we would waive $10,000 for an inspection of anything that's found in the inspection. At that point, we decided, well, we just really want to know if there's any problems that we don't think there are going to be. But I couldn't believe that we're in a market where we have to go up to $10,000 being waived on the inspection.
Yeah, you're in Madison, Beverly. Would probably be different in other parts of the state.
Yeah, and Beverly, that's not something unique to your situation. That's cropping up quite frequently in the seller's market here, where realtors and buyers are agreeing to waive up to a certain amount of money if there's anything found during the home inspection. So if the home inspector comes through and he finds something that's going to cost $3,000 or $4,000 to fix, you're agreeing up front that that's fine. That's something that you will bear the cost of fixing. It's only if, the home inspector finds something horribly detrimental with the house, that's going to be a completely very expensive repair over that $10,000 mark, that you would have an opportunity to come back and either negotiate with the seller or just back out of the deal.
Yeah, Beverly, and that would vary, I imagine, depending on the market around the state.
I would imagine so. I think Madison is probably one of the hotter markets still, you know, in spite of the, you know, ever increasing interest rates that we're finding today. Madison's housing market continues to be very seller friendly.
Yeah. Beverly, does that help?
Oh, it does very much. I will also just comment, one other thing that surprised us about this real estate market was the use of something called an escalation clause, which is also the only reason we were able to get this offer accepted, because of how high we were willing to go over the next highest bidder.
So what's an escalation clause?
Sure. That's another common technique that buyers are using today to have their offer be the one that's most attractive to the seller of the house. And that's where the buyer agrees ahead of time that they're putting in an offer for a certain amount, amount X, but they're signing the separate agreement saying, well, if there's another offer out there that's higher than ours, we will agree to go so many dollars above that offer in order to be the offer that is offering the highest amount of money for the property. And so you can get into a situation where you have multiple buyers with escalation clauses going against each other on over one house. And, just what matters in the end then is what's the upper limit that's specified in the escalation clause as the highest amount that a particular buyer is willing to go up to.
Oh, my goodness. Beverly, these are great comments here. I'm sorry for some of the problems you may have had there, but it's also really interesting for the rest of our listeners, and me included. I was thinking back, when she brought that up, I was thinking back to a time here, it wasn't that long back, maybe a year and a half or so, where I did... was interested in a vacation home and in Door County. And I had put in a bid, and it turns out there were three of us who were interested in the home. And the real estate person sent a message. Here is the price. And apparently this went to all three of us, and you can't change anything. You either accept or reject this price. And so it was quite a bit higher, and I rejected it. And then a month and a half or 2 months later, I happened to by chance saw the person who did buy it. And I said, well, what did you pay for it? And his price, the one that he had been quoted, was substantially lower. And so there were three of us that apparently the real estate person felt, this guy looks like he might be willing to spend more, so I'm going to give him that price. Is that a legal thing to do?
Gosh, I've never really heard of that happening so often. Quite a unique situation there. Usually if a seller's agent is going to come out and put a price on the line to everybody who's potentially interested, it's usually the same price.
Well, in this case it wasn't, but the what he paid for it was what I think the minimum that the sellers would have gone for. But it was an eye-opener to me, because I'd never heard of that happening before.
Yeah.
Well,
there's other things that buyers will do to try and make their offer more attractive to sellers. In some neighborhoods, you know, sellers are interested in having a family move into the house. And so if it's a buyer who has kids, they might get a note from the parents talking about how they envision their kids living in the house and playing in the yard. They might actually get a little handwritten short note from one of the kids talking about how they would they'd love to be in that house too.
Joan in Madison, we'll go to you. Hi, Joan.
Yes, good morning. I live in a half Cape house that's about 80 years old. We've lived here for about 52 years. My dilemma is we have asbestos siding on our house. If we sold it, what kind of a dilemma would I be in?
Well, and the asbestos siding is something you know about, so it would be something you'd need to disclose on the real estate condition report. But what you're talking about is something that is not uncommon with houses that are of a certain age. You know, I think you said your house is about 80 years old, and a lot of houses that were built during that time period had some type of asbestos in them, you know, whether it be in the siding or it might be, you know, in the flooring in some respect. And so anybody who's willing to buy that house, it's likely something that they'd be willing to take on, especially if you disclose it in the real estate condition report.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't worry about it. As long as you put it in the report, I think you're safe, Joan, and you would agree.
I would agree with you on that.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you for calling. Doug in Richland Center, we go to you next. Hi, Doug.
Hi there. My question was, I purchased a house, it's been like 8-9 years now, but I've had a bat problem ever since I've had the house, and I just wondered if there was any kind of recourse in that situation.
Just want to make sure I got you right. You said a bat problem?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Frankly, likely not in this situation because it's been 8 or 9 years. If it was something that you became aware of in the, you know, the first year or so or a couple years after buying the house and you had some kind of inkling or evidence or there was something that gave you the indication that the people that sold you the house knew about the bat problem and failed to disclose it, then I think you'd be in a situation where you might have a potential claim or reason to go talk with the sellers of the house. But I think at this point in time, my initial thought would be that the time has passed on that issue.
And typically, well, with a bat problem, just as an aside, because I've had to deal with that in other shows that I've done, bats can get through a really small hole about the size of a dime. And so if you could do it yourself or, you know, go up in the attic in daylight and you probably can see where there's light coming through, or just hire someone to come in, and there are bat excluders that you could then fix or put over the hole so the bat can get out but then can't get back in. And then once the bats are gone, you just, you know, caulk or whatever you have to do to repair the small openings or openings that are in the home. Now, there are some legal parts. I mean, you can't do it when the bats have, during a time of the year when the bats have little ones. But otherwise, that's probably you're going to get that done for a few $100, and you're probably going to save money in the long run. Be my guy. Kevin, would you agree to that?
Yep. I'm over here nodding, Larry. It's probably easier to call up a professional company that does bat exclusions simply because the few $100 you're going to pay, you're probably going to have a better chance that the professionals who do this on a regular basis will be able to get the various different places that the bat can get in and out of your house better than you might spending all weekend on a ladder.
Good luck with that. Thank you for calling. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. Mark in Wisconsin Dells, we'll go to you next. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, I have a crazy question. What would happen if a buyer finds out after the fact that the house they bought is haunted? Would they make the seller pay for Ghostbusters?
Has that ever come up in your experience, Kevin?
That does come up from time to time. And different states have different laws on that. In Wisconsin, there is no requirement on the part of sellers to disclose that they believe a house is haunted.
So if it's haunted here in Wisconsin, you wouldn't have had to have that on the report.
That's not something that's on the real estate condition report, and not something that would necessarily need to be disclosed.
Yeah. Mark, there you go. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. That's one I hadn't thought of. Craig in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Craig.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
There was a mansion. Met the guy in a bar. He said, you can buy my house. I'm trying to be concise. You can buy my house. Just get a realtor. Well, 3 days later, there's no correspondence. So I called the realtor. They said, the house is all, there's three buyers ahead of you. So 2 weeks later, I found another house, and the realtor, different realty company, they came out to show me the house. The mother, who's the realtor, was teaching her daughter. They took the house to, as an investment. There's no oversight in Milwaukee, so I wanted to know what I could have done. After I went to lawyers, said there's nothing I can do. So please elaborate.
So the person who was selling you the house, or the realtor, also owned the house, is that correct?
No, they did not own it, because the person had died. I'm driving down the street, and they said, my house is for sale. You can purchase this one. So I went and got a realtor after they cleaned out the house. The realtor bought the house out from under me.
Oh.
The same with the mansion. I met the guy in the bar, and he said, just get a realtor, anybody you want, and this is how much it is, and let them know.
Oh.
And they took that one, too. Yes.
So you had that happen to you twice, where you were, the realtor you were working with bought it out from under you. Okay, now it's clear.
Yeah, interesting situation. Apparently, I guess maybe need to spend a little more time doing some background research on some of these realtors before you hire one. But I think, you know, if you've already sought legal advice and somebody told you that you don't have a recourse or a claim there, I don't think I would disagree with that that opinion that you got on your potential legal claim. It's really just an unfortunate situation. I mean, perhaps in the future you either want to pre-screen your realtor, you know, get an agreement with them ahead of time that they're not going to try and buy the house out from underneath you, or perhaps just go in without a realtor.
Yeah, that'd be the other way to do it. And the realtor, is there an association, or, you know, there is a professional association of realtors?
There's the Wisconsin Association of Realtors, right? Wisconsin Realtors Association.
And so you're probably a little better off if you at least look for somebody who is a member of that association?
Right. My understanding is people that are technically a realtor with the Wisconsin Realtors Association have a additional code of ethics that they sign on to when they become a realtor with the association that they agreed to abide by.
Craig, thank you for calling. I'm sorry for the issues you had there. Chris in Black Creek, we'll go to you next. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Kevin. I'm a somewhat retired 28-year building inspector, and it's such a good topic because, as you've probably covered, you know, people purchase a building and the inspection is done through either the realtor or the buyer or whichever, and or the seller. But quite often I've reinspected buildings, and this one in particular, I won't mention the realty company or anything, but yeah, so I found some major structural integrity problems where the beams in the basement were just crushing right into the, you know, the headers and stuff. And the owner, the guy that bought the property, the buyer, took my paperwork, you know, and it was terrible. And the previous owners came to see all the work that was being done on the building. They admitted to taking all this structural stuff out, and I had to put it in all my reports. That's my responsibility, that they took out the structural integrity that would support the building, and it was going to collapse. And the buyer didn't know it. So during the purchase, the building inspector, through the offer of purchase, did not find all the damage that the previous seller took out. And so then he took my paperwork to the court, and he hired, you know, an attorney, a counsel, as you are, Kevin. And the realty company got sued for a lot of money. I'm not going to disclose how much, but it was a lot. And then the realty company no longer used me as an inspector. So here I'm doing my job. And that's all I got, Larry.
Chris, thanks for calling. Comment on that, Kevin.
Yeah, it's really, that's an unfortunate situation, Chris. I appreciate you calling in to share that with us. You know, like any industry, the home inspection industry also has a small group of people that they know where their bread is buttered. And so they know that they're better off, you know, making sure that a house is saleable from the home inspection. In other words, it's a, you know, they can find a few thousand dollars worth of problems, but if there's a really significant detrimental flaw with the house, that might be something that they want to pass on if they want to continue to get referrals and work from, you know, a certain set of real estate agents that they work with on a regular basis.
Yeah. Thanks for that call. Julie in Winnicottie emailed to ask if it's smart to get a home inspection before selling a home that they've been in for 32 years so as to understand issues before putting the home on the market.
Well, it doesn't hurt. That's always an option on the part of a seller. You know, a home inspector doesn't necessarily have to work just for the buyer. You could hire a home inspector as the seller and, you know, turn that into a selling point for your house. In other words, have an inspector come through your house ahead of putting the house on the market, and then take the report that the inspector generates and make that available to anybody who's walking through the house to look at it.
A listener emailed to ask about homes frequently sold at auctions as is. Is this a good way to sell to avoid any issues, or is there buyer recourse under those circumstances?
Well, okay, there's a couple distinctions there. First, if you have a house that's sold as is at an auction, you decide to buy it at the auction, as is as is. You get what you get when you're buying at the auction. So I know a lot of people who do that, try to get as much information as possible prior to showing up at the auction to bid on the house. You know, a lot of times the house is in the possession of the bank before it goes to auction, and, you know, they can make contact with the bank and try and get a quick tour of the house just to assure themselves of what they're potentially getting. The other flip side of that is somebody who's just a private homeowner wants to sell their house as is. And that's fine. You can sell your house as is. However, you still need to be honest with the disclosures related to that house. If you know there's a water problem in the basement, that every time it rains, you have a great lake down in your basement, that's something that still needs to be disclosed. Otherwise, you're potentially misrepresenting the state of the house.
Matt in Sheboygan asked, and this week kind of dealt with this a bit, but he has problems with his newly built home. Where does he start to get some relief on this?
Well, if you're noticing problems with your newly built home, what you might want to do is hire a home inspector or hire somebody who is experienced in residential construction issues to come and take a look at the house. That's not something that people who are buying a new house typically think of because, well, they're buying a new house, so everything should be top-notch and ready to go. But unfortunately, sometimes subcontractors might make a mistake or cut some corners and something ends up not being what it should be. I think that would be the first place to go, is to hire somebody yourself who's going to work for you to come and point out any flaws. And at that point in time, you can go back to your builder, because typically a builder is going to give you some type of warranty with the house when you're buying a new house. And then you can have a list that's been drawn up with the help of your home inspector or residential construction expert, and you can make a demand that the builder correct these problems.
And another email from a person who said her sister bought a house in the country, doesn't know for sure if there was water in the basement was disclosed, but now there's water in the basement, purchased in the fall of 2022, wondering how long can she go back to the seller to help pitch in for this fix, and how do you even start at that conversation?
Well, there's a number of different claims that are involved if you're going to look back at the seller. And, you know, one thing that making a claim against a seller hinges on is the seller having knowledge of the problem. In other words, it's a problem that the seller knew about and the seller should have disclosed when they were selling the house. So first, I think your sister needs to go back and take a look at the real estate condition report and see if there was some kind of disclosure of water in the basement or not. And if not, then that's something she might look into, a potential legal claim. There's varying lengths of time on the statute of limitations for bringing different claims. For example, a breach of contract claim, which would be one of the longer running claims that you could bring relating to a house purchase, would be a 6-year statute of limitations.
Or it might be shorter.
It could be shorter for other different claims. There's a false advertising claim that has to be brought within 3 years, which has different standards which have to be met in order for the seller to have liability.
And that's one of the questions I wanted to get to, and here we are out of time, and there's lots of callers online, and there's more questions. Kevin, would you come back and be with us again, and we'll keep it up?
Certainly. Would love to.
Kevin Trost, our guest, founding attorney with Trost LLC, of course, has extensive experience in handling disputes arising from residential real estate transactions. And as I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody, as we're finding out, there are all kinds of weird things that can happen when it comes to buying or selling a house. So we'll have him back and we'll do this again. There are some opportunities now to sell food items from your own kitchen, and we're going to deal with that next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.